from Jakarta, Indonesia. Here is Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our program through shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz. Online streaming, voanews.id, and RRI Digital Mobile Application. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. From
this is Voice of Indonesia with the news. First, the headline. Indonesian president says Indonesia has great potential to become the world's halal industry hub. Indonesia proposes three things at Civil Aviation Conference in India. Hemrah Mawati, now the news in detail. Indonesian President Joko Widodo inaugurated the Indonesia Islamic Financial Center in Jakarta on Tuesday. In his remarks, President Joko Widodo asserted that Indonesia has great potential to become the center of the world's halal industry because of its Muslim population reaching 236 million people.
Ini sebuah market besar, sebuah pasar besar, sebuah potensi besar yang harus.
This is a big market, a big potential that we have to think about so that this opportunity is not lost to other countries. Indonesia has the opportunity, has the potential to become the center of the world's halal industry, the center of the world's halal
Indonesia
ecosystem. Of note, we must strengthen the Syariah's economic ecosystem.
Menjadi pusat industri halal dunia, pusat ekosistem halal dunia. Dengan catatan, kita harus memperkuat ekosistem ekonomi syariah.
Moreover, President Joko Widodo has further said the presence of Indonesia Islamic Center area is a positive step to support the development of the Sharia economy, including the Muslim fashion sector, halal tourism, as well as halal food and beverages. With the existence of Halal Center, President Joko Widodo hopes this will have a major impact on the development of Indonesia's Sharia economy. The Indonesian government has proposed three important things at the Asia-Pacific Ministerial Conference on Civil Aviation in India. Director General of Civil Aviation, M. Kristi Endah Murni, on Monday night conveyed the conference that took place recently resulted in commitments from Asia-Pacific countries such as improving flight safety, facilitating movement, and gender equality. Kristi Endah also explained these proposals include increasing flight safety targets, using technology to facilitate movement at international airports, and recognizing the important role of women in the aviation industry. Next, we have spokesperson of Nusantara Capital City Authority, Troy Panto, assess Garuda State Palace in the Nusantara Capital City, or IKN, Indonesia, has the potential to be like the White House of the United States Presidential Palace in Washington, D.C. Namely, the palace is friendly to the public, and the spokesperson also said on Tuesday, currently, only open access to visit only up to plaza ceremony, but doesn't rule out the possibility of opening like the White House. He further explained, when the first time plaza ceremony and Taman Kusuma Bangsa Nusantara opened to the public on Monday, the number of registrants through the application was so high, even though one day was only limited to 300 people. The last national news comes from Mataram Hotel Association of West Nusa Tenggara Province that has said, to date, 1,400 hotel rooms in the city have been booked by guests of Mandalika MotoGP, which takes place on September 27 to the 29, 2024. Secretary of the Mataram Hotel Association, Rega Fajar Firdaus, in Mataram on Monday, conveyed the number of rooms that have been booked is specifically from 35 hotels that are members of the association with a total of 2 rooms. Thus, according to Rega, the remaining hotel rooms that have not been filled are 1,400 rooms or 50% of the total rooms. Now we move to the international news. The military government of Myanmar has said the number of people in Myanmar who have died in the wake of Typhoon Yagi rose to more than 220, with nearly 80 others still missing. As reported by BBC.com, the storm swept through northern Vietnam, Laos, Thailand, and Myanmar in early September and has killed more than 500 people across the region so far, according to official figures. It triggered severe floods and mudslides in Myanmar, leaving at least 226 dead as whole villages were wrecked. Saudi Arabia's Deputy Minister for Political Affairs Saud Al-Sati met with the newly appointed ambassador of Norway to the kingdom, Kjersti Tromsdal, in Riyadh on Monday. As reported by ArabNews.com, Al-Sati wished the ambassador success in her new duties, the foreign ministry stated on X. Meanwhile, Minister of State for Foreign Affairs Adel Al-Jubeir received the ambassador of Peru to the kingdom, Carlos Zapata, in Riyadh on Monday to mark the end of his term in office. We end the news with a trash balloon from North Korea landed on a Seoul building rooftop and caused a fire. A local fire department said on Monday, among thousands of balloons Pyongyang has sent southward this year, sparking a tit-for-tat propaganda campaign. As reported by CNA.com, Seoul's Gangseo Fire Station in a statement stated at around 9:04 p.m. on Sunday, a fire broke out on the rooftop of a 4-story commercial building in the western district of Seoul. The fire was extinguished in 18 minutes, with 15 fire trucks and 56 personnel deployed, said the fire department, adding that there were no casualties. That was the news from Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Listener, today's commentary focuses on safe ozone, human survival secure. Every September 16th, the world commemorates World Ozone Day, or WOD, an important reminder of the ozone layer's critical role in maintaining the Earth's temperature stability and shielding life from harmful ultraviolet rays. However, this protective layer is steadily thinning, posing serious threats, including skin cancer, cataracts, immune system damage, and environmental harm, such as damage to plants and marine life. The depletion of the ozone layer, often caused by human activities, is also linked to the increasing global temperature. One of the primary substances responsible for ozone depletion is chlorine, or CI, commonly found in chlorofluorocarbons, or CFCs. These chemicals are widely used in refrigerants for freezers, refrigerators, air conditioning units, and other cooling devices, as well as in aerosol sprays for air fresheners, hair sprays, and perfumes. While CFCs do not occur naturally and exist in small quantities, in the atmosphere, they are around 10,000 times more potent as a greenhouse gas than carbon dioxide, CO2. This year, World Ozone Day highlights the theme Advancing Climate Action, which translates to strengthening climate action, protecting the ozone. During a World Ozone Day event in Bogor on Monday, September 16th, Indonesian Minister of Environment and Forestry Siti Nurbaya highlighted a report from the UN-supported scientific assessment panel for the Montreal Protocol on substances that deplete the ozone layer. The report confirmed that nearly 99% of banned ozone-depleting substances have been successfully phased out. Indonesia has made significant strides in reducing Hydrochlorofluorocarbons, or HCFCs, introduced in the 1980s as a substitute for SFCs, are also being phased out by developing nations. Indonesia began gradually eliminating HCFCs in 2013. According to Minister Siti Nurbaya, if current policies continue to be enforced and properly implemented, the ozone layer is expected to fully recover by 2066 over Antarctica, by 2045 over the Arctic, and by 2040 globally. The restoration of the ozone layer is a global cherish by humanity as a whole. However, achieving this requires collective effort and determination. Reducing the use of harmful substances can be done by opting for eco-friendly or ozone-safe products, regularly maintaining air conditioning systems, and protecting ourselves from UV rays by consistently applying sunscreen, wearing UV-protective sunglasses, hats, or long-sleeve clothing when outdoors. Well, listener, that was the commentary read by Ahmad Faisal.
I'll start today in history with September the 17th, 1978, the Camp David Peace Agreement signed. The Camp David Peace Accords were signed on September the 17th, 1978 at the White House and was held for peace in the Middle East. U.S. President Jimmy Carter led secret negotiations that lasted 12 days between Egyptian President Anwar Sadat and Israeli Prime Minister Menachem Begin. The name of the treaty is taken from the resting place of the President of the United States, Camp David, in Frederick County, Maryland. This agreement also gave birth to the Israel-Egypt Peace Agreement in 1979. Turning to September 17, 1988, the Summer Olympics opened. The 1988 Summer Olympics were a multi-sport event held from September 17 to October 2, 1988 in Seoul, South Korea. A total of 13,304 athletes from 160 countries competed in the 24th Olympic Games. There were 237 events held and more than 27,000 volunteers helped prepare for the Games. For South Korea, the 1988 Olympics was a symbolic event that raised its international image while contributing to national pride. Only 35 years after the Korean War devastated the nation and during a decade of social unrest in South Korea, the Olympics were successfully held. I'll end today in history with September 17, 2009. Notorious terrorist Nurdin Emtop killed in an ambush in Solo. Special Detachment 88 Anti-Terror Police of Indonesia surrounded one of the houses in Kampung Kepoh Sari, Solo, resulted in a shootout which then killed four people, including the mastermind behind the first Bali bomb attack, Nurdin Emtop. Police believe Nurdin is the person most responsible behind four bombings in Indonesia, namely the JW Marriott Hotel in Jakarta in 2003, the Australian Embassy in Kuningan, Jakarta in 2004, three restaurants in Denpasar, Bali in 2005, and two hotels in the area of Mega Kuningan, Jakarta, namely JW Marriott and the Ritz-Carlton on July 17, 2009. That was Today in History.
Yeah. Semakin makin tinggi kau melompat cepat, semakin makin cepat kau melesat. Masukkan bola sekarang ke dalam keranjang. Kom kiri kom kiri kiri kom.
Voice of Indonesia, the overseas service of Radio Republik Indonesia, broadcast in 9 language services: English, French, German, Dutch, Spanish, Arabic, Mandarin, Japanese, and Indonesian. Voice of Indonesia is broadcast via shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz, and via streaming on vonews.id and RRI Digital on mobile application. We present various programs for you: Diplomatic Forum, The Session, Indonesian Wonder, Miscellany, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, Indonesian Pop and Regional Songs, International Musical Entertainment, as well as news and information about Indonesia and abroad. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
My Indonesia Today is on Indonesia's nickel downstreaming successfully increases export value. Indonesia's nickel downstreaming program has successfully increased the export value of nickel derivative products. This is evident from the eightfold rise in export value from $4.31 billion in 2017 to $34.44 billion in 2023. Indonesian Coordinating Minister for Economic Affairs Erlangga Hartarto revealed it during his remarks at the groundbreaking of high-pressure acid leaching new energy event held at the New Energy Morowali Industrial Estate in Morowali Regency Central Sulawesi Province on Saturday, September the 14th. Based on data from the Ministry of Investment, by June 2024, total investment in nickel downstreaming, especially related to the construction of smelters and electric vehicle battery plants, has reached $30 billion. In the past 5 years, more than 2,000 gigawatt-hour of lithium-ion battery capacity has been used globally, supporting 40 million electric vehicles and thousands of energy storage projects. In this regard, Indonesia has the potential to become a key global player in electric vehicle or EV battery production, with the capacity to supply 210 gigawatt-hour of EV battery annually, as Indonesia is rich in mineral resources, especially nickel. Minister Erlangga Hartarto explained that various countries see Indonesia as an important part of the critical mineral supply chain. He added that Indonesia is in discussions with the United States, the European Union, Canada, Australia, and other countries regarding critical minerals agreements. He believes that if Indonesia, Canada, and Australia collaborate, the ecosystem supporting electric vehicles, including lithium and nickel, will be significantly strengthened. He also mentioned ongoing developments based on sodium or salt as alternative sources. This high-pressure acid leaching facility is located in the New Energy Morowali Industrial Estate, an industrial area designed to be a center for green energy-based mineral processing. All operation in this area will use 100% renewable energy, including hydro and solar power, making it a model of environmentally friendly industrial practices in Indonesia. The industrial estate obtained its industrial area business license in August 2024, providing legal certainty and confidence for potential investors. Indonesian Coordinating Ministry for Economic Affairs appreciates this area for supporting the zero carbon emissions target in mining and industry. Given its status as a national strategic project, cooperation with the military and police is crucial, as the area is a national asset. Minister Erlangga hopes that this collaboration will support Indonesia's industrial sector in transitioning from fossil energy to renewable energy. That was my Indonesia Today.
Alun sebuah simfoni, kata hati disadari, merasuk sukma kabuku, dalam hati ada satu, manis lembut bisikanmu. Dan
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, the National Sports Week or PON is the largest sports competition in Indonesia. This year, the 21st PON is being held in Aceh and North Sumatra from September 9 to the 20. Taking place in Aceh, which is famously known as the Veranda of Mecca, it's best not only watch the sports competition, but also explore the beauty of this region. One of the most visited destination is Blangkolam Waterfall. Located deep within a forest, Blangkolam Waterfall offers cool and refreshing air, which is perfect to escape the heat. However, reaching it takes some effort, as you'll need to descend about 600 steps from the entrance. It may feel exhausting, but your weariness will come off as you witness the beauty of the 75-meter-high waterfall. The best way to enjoy Blangkolam is to dip and swim in its waters. Once you're done playing in the water, you won't need to worry. You can rinse yourself off right at their on-site bathrooms. If you prefer a more relaxed experience, you can have a picnic under the shady trees in this area. Just bring your own food, lay out a mat, and enjoy a peaceful afternoon. Listener, this waterfall is called Blangkolam because its shape resembles a giant pond with water pouring off the cliff. If you're interested in visiting this magnificent waterfall, Blangkolam is located in Sidomulyo Village, North Aceh Regency. You have to travel around 30 kilometers from the city center of North Aceh. You can reach it by private vehicles or public transportation. The entrance ticket is 5,000 rupiah or less than $1.50 per pax. Well, listener, that's today's Indonesian Wonder from Voice of Indonesia.
Kau menangis, ceritakan semua yang engkau mau. Percaya padaku, aku lelakimu. Mungkin pelukku tak sehangat senja. Ucapku tak menghapus air mata, tapi ku di sini sebagai lelakimu. Akulah yang tetap memelukmu erat saat kau berjalan nanti. Sudah benarkah yang engkau putuskan? Garis hidup sudah engkau tentukan. Saat kau berpikir
Voice of Indonesia, the overseas service of Radio Republic Indonesia, broadcast in 9 language services: English, French, German, Dutch, Spanish, Arabic, Mandarin, Japanese, and Indonesian. Voice of Indonesia is broadcast by shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz, and via streaming on vonews.id and RRI Digital on mobile application. We present various programs for you: Diplomatic Forum, The Session, Indonesian Wonder, Miscellany, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, Indonesian Pop and Regional Songs, International Musical Entertainment, as well as news and information about Indonesia and abroad. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Hello, welcome back to Mari Berbahasa Indonesia, or Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, which introduces Indonesian vocabulary and guides you to speak in Indonesian language. Mari Berbahasa Indonesia, or Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, is a collaboration between Voice of Indonesia and the Language Development Agency of the Indonesian Ministry of Education, Culture, Research, and Technology. Today's topic is
Di balik papan,
which means in balik papan. You will listen to a conversations about
asik,
which means fantastic. The conversation is between Chris, a vlogger from Australia, and a biker. Chris was making a travel vlog on a motorcycle from Banjarmasin to Balikpapan. Chris was expressing his excitement when finding a small shop to take rest. Let's listen to the conversations.
Kira-kira 2 jam lagi kita akan tiba di Balikpapan. Sekarang saya ada di daerah Labangka. Asyik, itu ada warung untuk beristirahat. Kebetulan saya lapar. Mari kita lihat menu di sana.
After listening to the conversations, I will introduce you to some vocabulary and expressions related to today's topic. My colleague Ranoff will say it 2 times slowly, and please after her.
Asik, asik.
Which means fantastic.
Ada, ada.
Which means there is.
Warung, warung.
Which means small shop.
Beristirahat. Beristirahat.
Which means take rest.
Asik, itu ada warung untuk beristirahat. Asik, itu ada warung untuk beristirahat.
Which means fantastic. There is a small shop to take rest.
2 jam. 2 jam.
Which means 2 hours.
Tiba, tiba.
Which means suddenly.
Di balik papan. Di balik papan.
Which means in Balikpapan.
Daerah, daerah.
Which means region or daerah.
Kebetulan, kebetulan.
Which means coincidentally.
Lapar, lapar.
Which means hungry.
Menu, menu.
Which means menu. In these conversations, you will listen to the expressions.
Asik, itu ada warung untuk beristirahat. Asik, itu ada warung untuk beristirahat.
Which means fantastic. There is a small shop to take rest. In that, there is the word
asik, asik,
which means fantastic. And this is used to express joy over something. In this sentence, the word
asik, asik,
which means fantastic, was followed by an expression about something that sparks joy. In this case,
ada warung untuk beristirahat. Ada warung untuk beristirahat.
Which means there is a small shop to take rest. Here are other examples. Let's listen to some other examples using exclamations.
Asik, bulan depan saya pergi ke Jepang. Asik, bulan depan saya pergi ke Jepang.
Which means fantastic. I'm going to Japan next month.
Asik, saya mendapat hadiah. Asik, saya mendapat hadiah.
Which means fantastic. I got a present. In these conversations, the word
asik, asik,
which means fantastic, is an exclamation to express joy over something. But in another case,
asik
means focus or busy on something too much. For instance,
dia sedang asik mengedit video. Dia sedang asik mengedit video.
Which means he is so busy editing the video. Before we end today's Mari Berbahasa Indonesia or Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, let's have another go with the conversations.
Kira-kira 2 jam lagi kita akan tiba di Balikpapan. Sekarang saya ada di daerah Labangka. Asyik, itu ada warung untuk beristirahat. Kebetulan saya lapar. Mari kita lihat menu di sana.
Listener, that was Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia for today about
asik, asik,
which means fantastic. We hope today's edition will be useful for you who want to know more about the Indonesian language. I'm Daniel and my colleague
Ranov. Sampai jumpa.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Voice of Indonesia. Of Indonesia.
VOI listener, today's edition of Music Corner presents a special Malay song called Dumai Kota Idaman or Dumai the Dream City. It's a song by Durasi, a band of police officers from Dumai, Riau, Indonesia. Durasi itself is actually an acronym for Dumai Bayangkara Presisi. Dumai Kota Idaman was written by AKBP Nur Hadi Ismanto. Kota Idaman or Dream City is a slogan from the city of Dumai, a city known for its independence, civilized and comfortable. The lyrics describe Dumai as a dream city, trustworthy, clean and harmonious. It's a place where investments thrive through its evolving port, trade, industry and tourism. This peaceful and secure atmosphere makes Dumai a city anyone would dream of living in. Once you visit, you'll want to return. Well, listener, let's enjoy a song by Durasi with Dumai Kota Idaman. Happy listening.
Rasakan hangat bersahabat, setiap sudut senyuman menyambut. Santun ramah warga menyapa, alamnya membuat tenang jiwa. Bunga kuncup harum mewangi, ditanam subur di pinggir kali. Sungguh tak cukup datang sekali, pasti hati rindu lagi. Kota ini kota idaman, mandiri beradab juga nyaman. Tempat investasi amanah, bersih semarak rukun dan indah. Pelabuhan perdagangan industri, wisata maju sejahtera. Harmonis tertib tentram dan aman. Kota idaman, ayo ke Dumai, ayolah ke Dumai, ayo datanglah ke Dumai. Kota idaman, kota yang nyaman, sekali datang sejuta kenangan. Kepingan surga yang istimewa, prima rona bumi lancang kuning. Investasi amanah, bersih semarak rukun dan indah. Pelabuhan perdagangan industri, wisata maju sejahtera. Harmonis tertib tentram dan aman. Dumai indah, Dumai kota idaman. Ayo ke
of Indonesia.
Kuala Lumpur. Voice of Indonesia.